I'm sorry to tell you, friends, that through circumstances, Mr. Izzard is not able to be with us this morning, but he hopes to come and preach here this evening. May the Lord be with him and bless the friends at Fenstanton today. May he remember us in our reading service. Let us commence with hymn number 44. Here, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands, and on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shower. Hymn number 44.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us as we read from his holy word, Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word and help Benji to pray.
Do come now and have mercy upon us once more and teach us how to pray. Oh, that thou wilt come and indite that true prayer in our hearts, that which cometh from thee, O Lord, that which thou wilt surely answer. Oh, that we might have that true and living faith in our hearts to lift up our eyes unto thee, knowing that thou canst do all things. O Lord, we come unto thee then, as poor, wretched, undone sinners. We would desire that right spirit, that humble, contrite spirit, to confess our sins before thee, and to seek thy mercy, to seek thy forgiveness. O Lord, that which alone can prepare us for eternity. Oh, to know that our sins are washed away in thy blood. O Lord, do quicken our souls. Give us those right desires, each one of us gathered here this day, for we each have that never-dying soul. O Lord, and we each have an eternity before us. Oh, do have mercy on us then, and prepare us each. Leave none out. Work in each and every heart. O Lord, we do pray that thy power might be put forth this day, using thy word. O Lord, all those things we sing, those things we hear. Oh, give us that hearing ear. Leave us not, Lord, as we have read, of those that did not hearken unto thee. O Lord, give us that ear to hear what God the Lord will speak. O Lord, speak to us each. Leave us not, O Lord, lest we be like those that go down into the pit. O, do lift us up. Do work in us. Give us that desire to know thee. Thou, Lord, who hast done that great work, shed thy blood, O Lord, that sinners might live. Oh, that we each might truly know then that we are a sinner. Oh, Lord, we do sing, a sinner is a sacred thing. Oh, Lord, do work in our hearts then and bring us to truly know these things in our heart. Leave us not to word only, to thoughts, Lord, of our own. Oh, do bring us each then to truly trust in thee and what thou hast done. For we can do nothing of ourselves. It is all of thee. Oh, do remember us each for good now this day. And use thy word. Make it effectual. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Oh, Lord, and we do pray for thy servant. Lord, we did expect him here this day. But thou hast kept him. Thou hast kept him where he is, Lord, and we do pray that thou wilt help him, at home as it were, and Lord, that thou wilt use him and make his word profitable to the hearts and minds of thy people, O Lord, and that thou wilt bring him this night to us, and that thou wilt truly give him that message to bring. O Lord, and may we each have that desire to hear thy message. O Lord, do then remember us in mercy this night and enable us to truly praise thy name. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember us now this morning, and Lord, that thou wilt use that word that was preached in time past. Lord, bring it to life. Oh, make it powerful in our hearts. O Lord, that there might be that done this day which is to thy honour and glory, to the praise of thy great and holy name. Oh, that we each might truly be enabled to find a precious Jesus, the one that can do all things for us. Oh, Lord, do then remember us each for good, and grant us a true token for good. Lord, something that we can take home, something that we can truly rest upon, something that we can keep, Lord, something that we can call our own. Oh, do remember us then in mercy. And Lord, we desire to pray for each one gathered here. Thou knowest the various needs. Thou knowest how each one has come through the doors this morning, Lord, with their eyes up unto thee, with those petitions to thee. Oh, Lord, all is known and open unto thee. And we do pray then that thou wilt make thy words suitable, and that none might be sent empty away. O Lord, do be that merciful, gracious God to us here this day. And Lord, we do pray then for each of thy servants. O Lord, thou hast in mercy granted us thy servants week by week. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt uphold each one, and that thou wilt give them each a word to bring. And Lord, we remember those of thy servants in sickness and affliction at this time. O Lord, that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies where it can be thy will, and that thou wilt truly sanctify these things and raise them up once more. O Lord, these things are in thy hand. Do have mercy then upon us. And Lord, we pray for those in sickness and distress. O Lord, that thou wilt remember them, that thou wilt sanctify these things, and that thou wilt bring true good forth. And Lord, that thou wilt raise up where it can be thy will. And Lord, we do desire to remember thy many mercies to one and another of us in past days. Lord, we would not be unmindful of these things, and we would truly desire a thankful heart. For Lord, these things come from thee, and thou hast been a merciful God. O thy loving kindness, O how great. O Lord, do we truly know it? Do we truly feel it? O do help us then to praise thy name. Do now we do pray for our country. O Lord, thou knowest the state we're in. Wickedness and evil abounds on every hand. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt put forth thy restraining hand if it can be thy will. And Lord, that thou mightest raise up those with thy fear in their hearts to be our rulers. O Lord, do in mercy, in wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, and turn us around if it can be thy will. Oh, that there might be that looking again unto thee. Thou alone canst do it. Oh, that thou would come and increase our faith. For, O Lord, nothing is impossible with thee, whether it be in our nation or in our own hearts. O Lord, do help us then to cast all our burdens upon thee and to truly seek thee. Do now remember our brother, Lord. Help him in reading that preached in time past, and we pray that thou wilt truly use it. Help us now then as we seek the forgiveness of all our sins for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he doth wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Raven. You will find the words of the text in the psalm that we read, Psalm 81, verse 10. Psalm 81 and the 10th verse. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God still. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. It is very wonderful that after all the provocations the Lord suffered from his people, he says, I am the Lord thy God still. Even when he seemed to have forsaken them, he still dwelt between the cherubims. He was still upon the mercy seat. And he said, mine arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is mine ear heavy that it cannot hear. I am the Lord thy God. How happy is that people whose God is the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There is everything in this. I am the Lord thy God. Oh, if we have an interest in this word, how favored we are. But we must remember that he is the Holy One of Israel. The Lord thy God is holy, and our God is a consuming fire. If the Lord is our God indeed, he will be to us a consuming fire in respect of everything in us that is opposite to his holy will and is contrary to his holy gospel. For his fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. And the Lord will bring the third part through the fire. He will see to it that the refining process is accomplished. I am the Lord thy God. If we might but realize this, what a weighty matter that would be to us. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I met with a remark the other day. I think it was one of Lee Richmond's. It was to this effect. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then he adds, and no man shall see holiness without the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. This will meet every contingency and every want. It will fill up every desire of a hungry, thirsty soul. How satisfying it is if the Lord but says to a poor soul, fear not, I am thy God. That will fill every empty vessel in the soul. If you get that, you will not want anything else. The late Mr. Popham said that if you have God, you will not want a creature. I am the Lord thy God. I am Jehovah thy God. Here we have the Trinity of persons in the unity of the Godhead. For you must know that the truth of the Blessed Trinity lies at the foundation of the whole of salvation. There can be no gospel without the doctrine of the Trinity, without the blessed truth of the Trinity in union, three persons in the unity of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one. Reason may cavil at it, but those to whom God reveals it, unto whom he gives faith to believe it, embrace it in all the affections of their hearts, and they see this and are enabled at times to rejoice in it. But all true Christians this may boast, a truth by nature never learned, that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to save our souls, are all concerned. Sweet and blessed truth is that, and precious it is to see the Father concerned in our soul's salvation, having predestinated us to obtain salvation by his Son before ever he formed the earth or the world. It is very blessed, too, to see the Son of God engaged in the work of redemption, to redeem us from the curse of the law, and to redeem us from all evil and from vain conversation to God. It is very blessed, too, to see the Holy Ghost engaged in the quickening of our souls, even when dead in trespasses and sins, and coming into these dark hearts with his illumination, his gracious teaching, leading us into the truth, causing us to know and love the gospel, making us to pass under the rod, and bringing us into the bond of the everlasting covenant, revealing Christ in our hearts. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. But first there is conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Then he takes of the things of Christ and makes them glorious in the sinner's heart, so that the sinner falls in love with Christ. Do you know what it is to feel some burning of affection in your heart towards Christ, so that you have said, "The desire of my heart is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee"? And even if you could not get quite where you would get, beneath the shadow of that apple tree, can you say that Christ, the apple tree, is to you most attractive of all the trees of the wood? You fain would sit under his shadow and feel the sweet delight of it, and find his fruit sweet to your taste. Is not the longing of your heart to be there? It is a great matter to be a sound Trinitarian, to be experimentally a Trinitarian, not to be one merely doctrinally. A friend in Leicester used often to say at the prayer meeting, "Lord, make us sound Trinitarians. Because if we are not sound there, we are not sound anywhere." I am the Lord thy God. He is not ashamed to be called their God, the apostle says, for he hath prepared for them a city. But not only is he their God, but he is their all-sufficient God, He is and has all that they stand in need of. And he stands in this relationship to them of their God by reason of the incarnation of his dear Son, the doing and dying of his dear incarnate Son. It is through Christ that he stands in this relationship to his people, their God and their Father. I ascend, said Christ, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And the fullness of this relationship is entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Lord thy God. Thomas had, notwithstanding all the unbelief that possessed him, a wonderful revelation of Christ when he said, "My Lord and my God." There was more in that than any words can express. My Lord and my God. Thomas had his heart's fill at that moment. My Lord and my God filled every want of his heart, brought him into ineffable satisfaction. And it is encouraging to reflect that the Lord is able thus, wonderfully, powerfully and graciously, to manifest himself to those who, by his grace, seek him. Sooner or later, he will appear to their relief. He will say to them, "I am thy salvation." He will speak and assure them, "I am the Lord thy God." For he never mocks a thirst for grace or scorns a willing mind. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he gave them a very wonderful token of his being their God. If God is the God of a people or of an individual, he is not silent, he is not inactive. He is a living God and a God doing things for them. That is the blessedness of it. That this God, if he is our God, will undertake the cause of our souls. He will do things for us, mighty things, things for which his people shall have occasion eternally to bless and praise his holy name. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He did the thing that was seemingly impossible. The Israelites were in a miserable case, in hard bondage in Egypt under the iron heel of the oppressor. But I am thy God brought them out. He brought them out of that furnace and delivered them. And the night of their deliverance was a night to be much remembered unto the Lord. They were never to forget it. They were to talk of it in their houses. They were to speak about it to their children. They were to tell their children what great things the Lord did in bringing them out of Egypt and destroying their enemies at the Red Sea, bringing them through the wilderness and into the land of promise. Their children were to be told of this. And in connection with their being brought out of the land of Egypt, there was the institution of the Passover. You remember how the Lord instructed Moses that the head of each household was to take a lamb according to the eating of his household. And the lamb was to be slain, and the blood taken in a bowl, and with a bunch of hyssop, was to be sprinkled upon the lintel of the door and the doorposts of the houses where they were. It is very significant that no blood was to be sprinkled on the threshold. It was not to be trodden underfoot. But on the lintel and doorposts it was to be sprinkled. And the lamb was to be roast with fire, not sodden at all, and eaten with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, with staff in their hand, and their loins girded ready for the journey that lay before them. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That is, to be your help and your defense when the destroying angel comes through to execute judgment on the Egyptians. As a bird flying over its young, passing over them to preserve them from molestation, so I will pass over you. And the command of the Lord was that year by year the Passover should be observed in memory of that great event. They were always to have in mind the great things that the Lord had done. All this is specially significant, for do we not see in it the gospel preached and Christ foreshadowed? Christ, our Passover, said the apostle, is sacrificed for us. The bondage of Israel in Egypt was very cruel, very grievous. But what was that compared to the bondage that sin holds a man in? Yet men, unless quickened by the Holy Ghost, are altogether unconscious of it, will not acknowledge that they are servants of sin and Satan. Yet that is what they are. But the Lord sent his dear Son from heaven to deliver his people from sin's iron bondage, from this awful captivity to sin and Satan. He sent his Son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he, the Lamb of God, was slain. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The Son of God came forth from the Father to this end, that he might offer himself a sacrifice for sin and die for his people, and by his dying vanquish sin and death and the devil and all the power of the enemy. Well, the dear Redeemer died, and his blood cleanses from all sins. A holy God looks upon the blood, and when he looks upon the blood, he sees that blood as completely atoning for all the sin of his people. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Oh, how great is that work of Christ! How great is the atonement that he has made! Oh, the efficacy of it, the power and the preciousness of that blood! When the Lord sees the blood, he passes over the sinner for whom it was shed. When a poor sinner is inclined by faith to look to the precious blood of Christ, he finds his conscience is purged from dead works. He is brought out from his bondage and from under his burden and guilt. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus in his conscience is sufficient. My sins are gone, and I am clad in garments white as snow. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And if we are interested in that one great sacrifice, then there is for us no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Then the Apostle tells us of that precious blood of Christ. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by virtue of that precious blood of Christ, poor sinners, vile though they feel themselves to be, have liberty, a blood-bought right and liberty, to venture into the holiest, to come before God in prayer, to pour out their hearts before him and make to him their requests. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And if a poor sinner is favoured with faith in that precious blood, he is enabled to look to the blood of Christ. It will give him liberty, which will open his lips in prayer and supplication. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said to his disciples, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Here is a very gracious invitation to poor needy sinners. With all their necessities, the necessities which are theirs as sinners, they are here invited to the throne of grace to bring large petitions, to spread their wants and woes before the Lord, and to seek great things of him. All poor people are warranted to seek great things of the Lord. As Rutherford, I think, said, ask the Lord for a little grace, because you deserve no more. You do not deserve even that. Therefore, seek a whole heaven of grace of the Lord. Ask not as your deserving warrants you to ask, but ask as it becomes his grace and his glory to give. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, if the Lord should say to you, what he said to the blind man, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What would you say to him? What is the necessity that is pressing upon you? What is the thing that you would have from his gracious hand? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Some will say, what I want to receive is the pardon of my sins, a blood-bought pardon, a pardon for Jesus' sake. But this I have tried to pray for a long time and have not got it, and sometimes I fear I shall die without it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will feel it. Come with your sins and your vileness as well as you can to his mercy seat. Fall before him and confess to him just what you are. Lay it before him and say in his words, take away all iniquity and receive me graciously. Open thy mouth wide. It is a great thing when you seek the full, free, and everlasting forgiveness of all your dreadful and many sins. But open thy mouth wide. Oh, he has power to forgive sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then you may also say, I not only want pardon, but I also want to be delivered from the dominion and the pollution of my sins. I feel sin has such a polluting power upon me. I feel its continual uprisings in my heart. My heart is teeming with wickedness. Pride, unbelief, blasphemies, uncleanness of various sorts, a whole host of things, hideous things, crowd my heart and are continually putting themselves forth within me. Oh, but is the desire of your soul that you may be cleansed from all unrighteousness, that sin may not have dominion over you? It is not the Lord's purpose that his people in this life shall be free from all conflict and indwelling sin and the world. The Christian man shall not put off his armour till he puts on his shroud, it has been said. But sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Come to him as well as you can and plead that gracious promise. Remind him of it. He loves being reminded of the promises he has given. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. He sent his own dear son to suffer, bleed and die. He spared not his own son. Shall he not with him freely give us all things? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, we are apt to be very contracted in our prayers. We open our mouth very little. We are often afraid to ask great things of God. Unbelief works within us, and so we go before God with very contracted petitions. But open thy mouth wide. Come with larger petitions. Bring your most capacious necessities. Make known your requests unto God. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. There was one of old who opened his mouth wide to God in a very remarkable prayer that is left on record. I refer to Jabez, with whose prayer you are very familiar. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. The man was asking a great thing, a thing so great that he could ask for nothing greater. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And the Lord granted him that which he requested. He opened wide his mouth in supplication. Do you sometimes feel that nothing will satisfy you but the blessing of God? Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. You feel that nothing will make you blessed but that. Come before him with this desire. Make it known to him as well as you may be able by prayer and supplication, and beseech him to bless you indeed. It may be that you are exercised with this desire, that the Lord would reveal in you his dear Son, giving to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. You feel you want to know Christ, the Christ of God. You want him to be made a living reality in your heart, not a mere notion floating in your brain, but a very solid, blessed reality to your heart, so that by faith you may feed upon him and rejoice in him. The apostle said, that I may know him, that I may win Christ. Open thy mouth wide. When the apostle told the Ephesians how he laboured in prayer for them and the things that he asked of God on their behalf, he finishes with those very well-known words. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh then, what encouragement there is for poor needy folk to come with their requests, with all their necessities, to the throne of grace and lay their wants before the Lord. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Would you be strengthened with might in the inner man? Do you feel day by day, as you are faced by your many foes, difficulties and dangers, that you need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God in the inner man? That when the enemy shall come in like a flood, he should lift up a standard against him. Ask this great mercy, this wondrous favour of the Lord. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. And after all, these poor folk who come to the mercy seat come with all their poverty and need and utter destitution and helplessness. And do they find the Lord a barren wilderness? No. He said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him from all his fears. Oh, then, may the Lord help us to come in all our poverty and with all our sickness and our sores, with all the evils that we feel and fear, and lay it all before him and beseech of him delivering grace. Beseech of him that rich mercy that our souls so deeply need. One said he wanted a whole heaven of mercy. He opened wide his mouth before God. And we can never ask too much when we plead for Jesus' sake. When we come, not in our own worthless names, but in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. We cannot bring requests to be. We cannot ask blessings too great. We cannot seek too much at the Lord's hand. And here he says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. No poor soul ever sought his face to be ultimately disappointed. He tries the faith of his people. He causes them to wait upon him and to wait through thick and thin. But he never disappoints them. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Then it may be that sometimes the daily path can be exceedingly trying. They have many difficulties, some heavy burdens laid upon them. They have afflictions laid upon their loins, affliction and weakness, or they have tribulations of other sorts come upon them. Oh, then, how we need the Lord to give strength and grace to walk the thorny road. We need him to give us grace to humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God, and confess to him that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And so submit ourselves under the hand of God. And do you not find sometimes, when you are walking in such a path, that there is a good deal in you that is opposite to all this? A rebellious spirit, an unbelieving spirit, hard thoughts of God, misjudging of his ways. Very terrible at times are the thoughts that spring up in a poor sinner's bosom when he is under afflictive dealings, under temptation, and walking a path of tribulation. Sometimes a man becomes a terror to himself by reason of the dreadful thoughts that surge through his bosom, thoughts against God respecting his dealings with him. Would you have grace to tread the thorny road? Do you desire grace to be made to humble yourself beneath his mighty hand? Grace to endure with becoming meekness and submission whatever the Lord is pleased to lay upon you, and grace to learn the lessons that are wrapped up in his dealings. Would you be more concerned to learn the lesson than to be delivered from the trial? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. All needful grace will God bestow, and crown that grace with glory too. Then do you desire also that you may have more humility and love in your walk with God's people? It is not always easy to walk with God's people in love and union and in meekness and humility. But the Apostle says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Then he says, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There are difficulties, great difficulties, lying in ourselves and in our brethren. And do you feel this sometimes? The difficulties of walking in love with those who fear God. Some might be ready to say, whatever is the minister talking about? The difficulty of walking in love with those who fear God. I think I know what I am talking about. I am talking about a thing that is known to the people of God. Oh, when they are put to the test, how they fail. If they hear some disparaging remark concerning themselves, how the fires of resentment begin to burn in their bosom. It is not easy to walk humbly in circumstances described by the poet. From sinner and from saint, they meet with many a blow. To receive those blows with Christ-like meekness of spirit, remember him who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. It is not easy to walk according to his example, his lowly, meek example. Yet a child of God in his right mind would so walk and would say, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil that shall not break my head. It shall be an excellent oil which my head shall not refuse. I will take it as an honour for a righteous man to smite me and reproach me. In all this, how we need the help of his grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in time of need. The people of God are continually, every day, experiencing times of need. Open thy mouth wide, says the Lord. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God, which sent my dear Son into the world to redeem you to myself by the pouring out of his soul unto death. Open thy mouth wide in his name. Bring large petitions. Lay your wants before him. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The Lord command his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £725, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach this evening and administer the Lord's Supper. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field, who also hopes to preach on Tuesday evening. And Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us now close with the first part of hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. 806.
Thank you. roads, the ground of my houses. Lord, do come out of my miseries, give it back to me. Lord, do bless all, may it be with me. May be thy messenger with my hands. You gather my children this afternoon in the service. God, my blessing. Lord, I will come to the Spirit. Our grand Lord, that we may be in the Spirit, for the Lord's Lord. Our living in the Spirit. Our living in the Spirit. Lord, keep that on, keep that on. Our living grand Lord in the Spirit, may be in the Spirit. Our children, Lord, now bless us in my household. Connect and send us nothing. Be with us now as we pray. Be with any unwell to those absent. Lord, do grant my healing. Be with us for Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost.